What's up? Good morning. All right. It's always exciting when your wife is excited to see you. Makes you feel good about yourself, you know. Even after all these years, she's still excited to see me. It's good. Hey, so we're going to continue our series this week called Doors. Before we get into that, I want to kind of reemphasize one of the things that Daniel said. Thank you guys for coming. You guys have no idea, kind of as a pastor, it's real easy. Like a lot of pastors quit on Sunday and then rehire on Monday. Like they fire themselves and rehire themselves. And today would be one of those days, you know? I mean, just based on what has happened thus far, because as much as we know that it's wrong, right? As much as, and you do this in your own way, like don't act like I'm the only one that's guilty of this. Like we attach our identity to something it is that we do, right? And it's cool that this kind of segues into what it is that we're going to talk about. So if, you know, for example, on a particular Sunday, it just happens to be daylight savings times, it just happens to be raining, and it just happens to be the first week of spring break or the weekend of spring break, you know, the perfect storm. But for me, I'm like, oh, man, nobody likes me. Nobody likes the church. I suck at preaching. This life is awful, right? You know? So it's just, it's healthy, I think, just to, for one, to be honest with you guys. And I appreciate you guys coming. But it's cool because it also kind of segues into what it is that we're going to talk about this morning. And what we're talking about is, the title is Open Door Policy. So you can write that down as the title of your notes that you're taking because you take notes and you're awesome like that, right? If you guys came when it's raining, you're note takers. You're just those kind of people. I get it. So when it comes to God's will, and we're using the word door because you hear this a lot when it comes to, oh, God opens doors and God closes doors and kind of the direction of our life. And so we associate God's will a lot of times with a door that he wants us to walk through. And so that's kind of where the language comes from and the angle that we're approaching this with. So when it comes to God's will, it's a little bit of an open door policy, and we're going to make sense of all this at the end. It's an open door policy because we have the choice as to whether or not we walk through the door, right? And it's kind of like we talked about last week, how like grace has unlocked the door on the backside with the deadbolt, right? And then we have faith as the key that unlocks it from the outside. Before we get into that, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of define some associated terms because, and the vast majority of this is opinionated. You can have your own opinion and be wrong, or you can just listen to me and be right. Whatever floats your boat. That was funny. You can laugh. It's okay. Or not. So you laugh at the embarrassing part, but you don't laugh at the funny part, you creeps. Anyway, so before we get into that, we're going to define kind of some associated terms. And I think that there's kind of a distinction between God's will and God's plan. And maybe this is splitting hairs, but it just kind of makes sense to me, and I thought maybe I would share this with you guys to maybe help you kind of define some things in your life and figure out where it is that you're going and where it is that you should be going, and again, the doors that you should be walking through. This is something that so many people wander through their life searching for, like, what is God's will for my life? And I think it'll help us to understand it if we break it into kind of categories, God's will and God's plan. And so if we understand these terms, it'll help. So we're going to dive right in by looking at the difference. The first one is God's will. And again, there's not like a, you know, clear-cut verse that says that God's will is this and God's plan is this. But I think as we get through this, maybe it'll make sense. And you have the right to disagree. And you can also leave through the door since that's the series we're talking. I'm just kidding. So the first one is God's will. God's will is more about, in my opinion, God's will is more about the general direction of your life. The general direction of your life. And even more than that, it's about what's going on inside of you. It's about the intrinsic. It's about the internal. God's will is about the direction of your life in general and who it is that you are becoming. It's about what's happening inside of you and the character that you should have regardless of what's going on outside, right? Because this, my point this morning, right? Like it would be very easy for me. I'm a pastor. I attach my identity to what it is that I do. Like, you know, my feelings of worth a lot of times, wrong or right, are tied to the success of the church. And so if my understanding of God's will for my life was attached to the success of the church, there are days where I'd be like, oh, God hates me, right? And then there are other days where I would have an overestimation. It was like, oh, God loves me more than he loves you. Right? So we just can't attach our understanding of God's will to the external things, the extrinsic things that are happening. It's so much less about what you are doing and so much more about who you are becoming. A tendency that most of us have, most of us likely have, is to put the emphasis on what we accomplish or what we can accomplish, and we deem that as God's will for our life, right? Like we kind of very, and it's understandable because it makes sense. Like I know a lot of us are logical and we're like, okay, well, if this is what I can do, these are the gifts that I have, this is what is in my hand, then obviously that's God's will for my life. And there's just a flaw in that line of thinking. And the flaw is, what are you going to do if you can't do what it is that you could do anymore? Right? Like, if that's God's will for your life, and that's the only purpose in your life, and you find success and self-worth and all of that stuff and what it is that you can do, what are you going to do when you can't do what you could do? Do? Boo? Right? Like, that's the problem. There's the flaw. Like, just for example, I'll just continue to use myself. Like, if this is what my whole life is about, what happens if I lose the ability to communicate? What happens if I, you know, get some kind of weird disease or something in my vocal cords and I no longer can communicate? Does that mean that I have no more purpose in life, that God doesn't have a plan and a will for me to continue on? Right? Obviously, he does. And so when you put the emphasis on the outside and what's going on outside and what it is that you can do, that's what you tend to do. Right? So we're going to talk about how God's will is more about what's on the inside. Check this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. We did a whole series just on this one little passage, which is pretty impressive. I was proud of us. And this is what it says. It says, rejoice always. Like a very succinct and powerful phrase, and it has the semicolon. So it's like, that's a complete thought. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And this is the fun part. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you see any emphasis on, hey, when you're doing what it is that you do with the talents that you've got and the skills that you've got and the job that you have and the career that you're pursuing and what's going on outside? There's no emphasis on that. It's all about what's taking place on the inside. Rejoicing always is very much a matter of choosing to be joyful in light of your circumstances or in spite of your circumstances, right? Because a lot of times we have circumstances that don't kind of contribute to joy or choosing to be happy, but we choose to do that anyway because it's about what's going on inside of us. Joy is an internal initiative regardless of your circumstances. Prayer. This is funny, the thing, I was thinking about prayer this morning. Prayer is something that happens on the inside of us. It's an internal dialogue before anything ever changes on the outside. And most of the time, like we pray, this is, I don't know about you, but I pray for God to fix other people. Right? That's funny. I pray for God to fix other people, and most of the time it's me that needs the fixing. Right? And so what happens is when we're praying about a circumstance or praying about a situation, although we want something to happen externally, what really happens is something internally. God's will is about what's going on inside of us. The last one, it says, in everything, give thanks. Now, let me ask you a question. When is the last time that something awful happened and you were like, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Adam. Right? When's the last time that something just atrocious, a tragedy, devastating happened, and you're like, thank God for that? We don't really do that, right? But it says, I don't know, everything means everything, right? And so if you base your feelings of appreciation on what's going on outside, you're in a world of trouble. That's not a good place to be. You have to choose internally to be appreciative of everything that's going on in your life. Like, because this is what I heard in a book. I'm thinking, so like when I think, I'm like, right? Like, what's going on? I heard in a book one time, it was called David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. Incredible book. And so he was talking about in World War II, when England was being bombed, that they actually became less fearful of bombings because there were so many near misses. Like a bomb blew up a block, you know, right down the street, and they're like, we got this, which is just crazy to think because, you know, everybody, in my mind, I'm like, let's get the mess out of here, right? I don't want a nuke dropped on my forehead. That's just me. It's not how I want to wake up and spend the day. And so they actually developed a sense of resiliency because everything bad was going on around them, and they realized how good they actually had it because they weren't the ones that got hit. And so that's the weird analogy or correlation is that sometimes I think we need to appreciate what it is that we have by seeing what it is that we don't have, like the things that don't happen to us. If you have a tragedy in your family and maybe somebody passes away, well, you still got your life. That's a good way to look at it, right? Or you get into a car accident, well, you still have your life and, you know, it wasn't a total loss. Nobody passed away. Like just finding the silver lining in every circumstance, That only happens when you look from things properly because of what's going on inside of you, right?
Right.
Giving thanks and having appreciation can't be based on outward stimulants and outward material possessions or anything like that. It has to be a condition of the heart. So as you can see, like I said, God's will for us is more about the general direction of your life. It's about your character. It's about who you are becoming and what's going on inside of you. But I think God's plan, point two, God's plan is more about the specifics, and it's about what you do with who it is that you are becoming, right? It's about the who, the what, the when, the where, and for some of us, the why, because like we're so like, why? Like some people just, they why you to death. It's funny, why sounds an awful lot like wah. That's just me. Why people tend to be wah people. Shelly, it was cool. Shelly had a teaching this morning that she did for the volunteers or the production team. And it was stop asking why and ask why not. Like, especially as Christian people, like, we're supposed to be encouraging. We're supposed to give, like read the Bible, right? You know, so much language about being encouraging and so much language about, you know, lifting each other up. And we have such a tendency to be negative and focus on the negative, right? Let's focus on the positive. Instead of asking why, ask why not. Like, when somebody has an idea, hey, man, you know what I think I should do with my life is this. And you're like, why not, man? Why not? And then you can talk through some of the possible potential pitfalls or problems, and that's a lot of P's. But instead of asking why, that's stupid, be encouraging. Why not? Like, we have such, you know, a keen ability to find problems, which a chimpanzee can do. Find solutions, people. Not you guys. I'm talking about everybody else. It's just in general. It's about the will, which is general, not the plan, which is specific, right? So God's plan for us is about the specifics. It's about the who, the when, the where, the why, and all of that stuff. It's always tied to the gifts that he's created you with, the abilities that he's given you, the passions of your heart. Like, God is not going to give you the plan for your life, or the plan for your life is not going to be about something you could absolutely care less about, right? Like, that would make no sense. Like, God is very much about you finding purpose and finding, you know, the sense of satisfaction, what it is that he's given you to do. So if you hate children, like absolutely loathe children, God's not going to, you know, give you a plan to serve children or work in ministry with children or be a teacher. Like, just not going to go down like that. At least I hope not, right? Right? I mean, just can you imagine the situation, you know, daycare blows up because this person... That's the morbid side of it. So I'm just convinced that the plan that God has for your life is always tied to what it is that he's put in your hands, the abilities that you have, and again, the passions of your heart. Just look at this verse, this passage of verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. It says this. It says, we have different gifts. Isn't that true, right? We all have different gifts. We all have different personalities, which a lot of times are tied to the gifts that you have. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so it kind of goes through this list of gifts. It says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Are you following? If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What's going on inside of you then takes place on the outside of you. That's the plan. Like, if this is the gift that you have and the character that you have and the passion that you have, then that eventually will take place on the outside of you. Like, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the plan, right? So everything that you have is directly tied to the plan that God has for your life, and it's our responsibility to do something with it. That's the primary difference. In my opinion, I guess I have to throw that out. That's the primary difference between God's will and God's plan. It's general, and then it's specific. It's internal, and then it's external. And I think this, when it comes to God's plan, I think a lot of times, how many of you guys, you like to know all the details, like everything that's going on? Like, some people, like, too much, right? Too much information, TMI. So some people, like, you invite them over. Who's going to be there? What are you doing? What are you cooking? I mean, what degrees are you going to put the oven at when you bake the what? Just shut up and come over, man, you know? Or we're going to have a good time. Just trust me that we're going to have a good time. And I kind of think God's the same way. He's like, trust me, and we'll have a good time. You get I'm just convinced that you get bits and pieces of the plan. You never get the full plan. You never get all of the details. And so what you have to do is you have to walk through one door, which opens up another door, which opens up another door, and you are walking in God's plan for your life. And it's what's so cool is like this circling back and making sense of all this is it's all tied to your faithfulness. Like, and you can find in this you know, this really powerful verse in scripture that says that he who is faithful with very little will also be faithful with very much. But you're not going to get very much if you weren't very faithful with very little. And so it's walking step by step through the doors into the plan, step by step through the doors into the plan, right? I think it's really good. It's really powerful. It will change your life like it changed mine. Let me give you another example. I'm exampling myself to death today, right? So I didn't wake up one morning and start Motion Church. I didn't just, you know, get this wild hair and be like, you know, I'm just some dude, and I'm like, I almost started a church, man. Woo! Although that would probably be a pretty cool church to go to. At any rate. So Shelly and I had just gotten married. We had been married for, I don't know, maybe a year or so. And so we were going to church. We loved church. We went every Sunday. We were very faithful, very consistent. And so somebody asked us to help out with teenagers. We're like, I mean, we're just past teenagers. At that point, to be honest with you, we thought we were way too cool for that. We're so far beyond that. But we were, you know, we did it anyway. We were like, all right, yeah, that's fine. So we started doing it. We started helping out serving on Wednesday nights with the youth group. And we're like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. Like, we kind of enjoyed it. And then we grew to love it. And then the guy that was the youth pastor moved. And they, for some reason, God knows why, I have no clue, they asked Shelly and I to take over and be the youth pastors of a relatively large group of teenagers. And I'm like, do you understand what you're doing? You have no idea. You have no clue. And so that's what and this was the funny thing. They asked us to take over on an interim basis. Interim means temporary. So we did that for 9 years. I don't know if that's temporary or not. I guess they just couldn't find another replacement or anybody stupid enough to take the job. I don't know. So whatever it was. So we started serving on a volunteer basis as youth leaders, and then we got promoted to the associate youth pastors, which is just a title with no more responsibility, or a lot more responsibility, but no more power, just so you guys know. So when you get promoted, the title doesn't mean anything. You got to find out about the benefits. So that's where we were at, and then the guy that was the youth pastor left, and they asked us to take over on an interim basis. We filled in on an interim basis. We were very faithful and consistent with that. So then we became the full-time youth pastors. We did that for 9 years, and that's when God put it on our hearts to start Motion Church. It's step by step by step into God's plan for your life. And if you're not faithful, if we would have said, we love the church, but we're going to sit on our butts and be fed the entire time, because that's the language that Christians use, which is so stupid to me. Never mind. That's just a pet peeve. Like, I mean, like, bro, go to Ryan's if you need to get fed. I don't know where this stuff comes from, man. And so If we would have just kind of had just the approach or the response that, man, that's not really for us. We don't want to serve. We don't want to take our time or use our extra energy to serve other people. We love coming to church. We'll show up on Sunday. We'll be on time. We'll tithe. We'll do those things. We'll be good Christian people. But we're not going to do that. Then none of this ever would have happened. None of it ever would have happened. God's plan is about who and what and when and where. And we only get there when we take steps through the doors that are in front of us, which segues to our next point, finding the plan. Like, for us, it was not a simple thing. Like, I tell people all the time, everybody's like, did you go to school? Did you go to seminary? I'm like, why did you ask that? Because I suck? What? I mean, most people, oh, you don't know, you know what I'm saying? That was a joke. Right? I'm going to start cueing the joke. We're going to get can you get the applause sound, Keelan? And we're going to get the light that says applause or laugh or chuckle, like a sitcom. And so for us, we kind of happened into God's plan. It wasn't like so much that we were like, this is exactly what I want to do with my life. And I feel like, you know, very passionately, this is who I am and this is what I'm supposed to do. And nothing else in life matters, right? That's not exactly how it worked out for us. I think we are the exception to the rule, like the way that we ended up and the circumstances we ended up in. We're so thankful, but we kind of just lucked into it, you know? I don't know. Maybe it's the whole faithfulness thing paying off. And so I think that every one of us can find God's plan for our life, but we have to look And you have to be intentional about it. And you've got to take stock and inventory of your life and your character and the gifts that you have. Like, I think they're there for a reason. Like, why else? Why would God give you a gift for no good reason whatsoever? Why would he give you an ability to communicate or an ability to encourage people or an ability to do this or that or the other, fill in the blank, for no reason whatsoever? Like, I'm just a big believer that everything that is for a reason. And so the same thing is true with you. So building on what we've already talked about, like to find God's plan, you have to be persistent and you have to be intentional. And so you're not going to get, like we talked about, you're not going to get the whole thing. Like, here it is all laid out for you in a blueprint, right? Do this and then do this and do this and you have accomplished God's will for your life. And when you die and go to heaven, Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That sounds easy, right? That sounds so much more simple and cookie cutter, but that's just, unfortunately, that's not the way that it goes down. I think it's more like a treasure map where you have like clues along the way. And so you find one clue that leads to another clue that leads to another clue that eventually will lead to the treasure. So that's just the way that I kind of understand it. Each time that you're faithful along the way, it's a clue to the next piece of treasure. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 is so good in this regard, in this respect. It says this, and again, speaking to the persistence and the intentionality that we have to find God's plan for our life. It says, keep on asking. I love the way that it's, to me, that's kind of like the get over. It's like, keep on asking, right? Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. But I think, man, it's those two words are so important. Keep on. Like, so many times I think we just get kind of lost in our searching and our wondering, and we get tired and we're like, man, I don't know. And dude, that can be so frustrating. I understand fully how frustrating that can be to not know exactly what it is that God wants you to do with your life. But keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so Jesus said that, and he followed it up with this story, because I think it's important to understand that God's character and God's nature, because of who he is, he wants us to know what it is that he wants us to do with his life. So this is what he said. He says, you parents, how many parents we got? This is kind of funny. Like, I love that there's a little bit of, like, sarcastic wit, I think, in here. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? And it's poetic, too. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, you're like, Dad, I'm hungry. I want some bread. Here, eat this brick. Who would do that, right? And it says, or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Right? You know, Daddy, I want a catfish fillet. Here, have this viper instead. It's like, really? Nobody would ever do that. That's completely ridiculous. And so the answer is, of course not. So if you, and I love the way that Jesus did this. He's like, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Like, that's his character. That's who he is. He's an incredible father. And I know a lot of times we have a poor perspective because we haven't seen good parenting or good fathers. But God is the perfect father who only wants good gifts for his kids. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a life with issues and trials and struggles. That's not it. A lot of times that is a gift if you can view it properly. Because I think, as we've all talked about and you probably know, you grow the most in seasons of trial than you do in the times when everything is just swell. So difficulty can be a gift. So this good father wants you to have the good gifts, and he wants you to know what to do with your life. Could you imagine, like, as a dad, if my kids were like, man, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm like, who cares? Just go work at McDonald's. It's all good. If you work at McDonald's, that's no shame. I hope you have greater aspirations, unless you own it, because I heard they get paid. Like, if I had no concern whatsoever about the direction of my child's life, I would be a deadbeat dad. I have no business. I would be a dad, not a father, and there's a difference, right? And so I think any good parent would understand that you want your kids to have direction for their life and understand that they have purpose and kind of tap into that and find who it is that they're supposed to be. And God is so much even more than we could ever possibly be. And I love the way that that ends. It just reemphasizes that God, as the perfect father, wants you to know what it is that you should do with your life. But we have to be persistent, and we have to stay the course. We have to keep on. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Have you ever had somebody show up at your house and they just knocked? And have you? Maybe you've had a situation where you didn't want somebody to know you were home. And they usually wear like white shirts and ride bicycles. So my son, I don't answer the door if I don't feel like talking to you, I'm not gonna answer the door. Like, I'm just being, can I be honest with you guys? Like, if I'm at home in the privacy of my home, and, you know, I'm trying to have, like, you know, maybe I'm trying to get some work done or something, and I'm upstairs, my office is upstairs, so it's kind of hard, like, to get down to the front door to see who it is, and it's probably a salesman. I don't want to talk to you anyway, right? So my son, on the other hand, loves to talk to strangers. And so these two girls showed up at our house, and they wanted to tell us about Jesus in a fashion that we've never heard of Jesus as some kind of, you know, extraterrestrial being or something. I don't know. And so I don't know what religion it was, but it was kooky. Ooh, right? And so Tavian, they start knocking. Tavian immediately, he just opens the door. He's like, hey, girls, what y'all want to do? And so I had to come sort it all out, right? And so that's, how did we get on? Oh, the knocking, the persistent knocking. They were persistent in their knocking, therefore he answered the door. And so that's it. God wants us to know what to do with our life, but we have to be persistent, and we have to kind of stay the course, keep on. And this may help you for where you're at right now in your life, because a lot of times we've walked through one door, but we don't know what the next door is. Have you ever been there? Yes. Shelly's the only one. Thank God for all of you. Can I rail real quick? I'm going to vent for just 1 second. Look, we may be predominantly white, but you don't have to act white, okay? You can lift your hands in church unless you didn't put on deodorant. That's just me. So a lot of times we get in these situations where we've walked through one door, but we don't know what the next door is. And I heard this one time. Matter of fact, I think it was Daniel that kind of conveyed this leadership teaching. When in doubt, keep doing the last right thing. Like, continue to be faithful with what it is that you know that you were supposed to do at some point in your life. And so many people, this is where people miss it, I think, a lot of times, because we're all glitz and glamour, and we want to go on to the next thing and the next big thing and the next opportunity, and life is about stepping stones. And sometimes it's not about stepping stones. It's about being faithful in the drudgery and kind of the frustration even. And I think, man, when you do that, like, I can give you examples of times in my life where I just wanted to stop doing what we were doing and move on and do something else. But I can see with the privilege of hindsight how I grew, and how it's a lot of times I think what happens is you learn not necessarily what you want to do, but what it is that you don't want to do. And that's just as important in figuring out God's plan for your life. So don't just jump on to the next thing. Keep doing the last right thing. If you're not sure that that's where you're supposed to go, then be faithful where you're at, because that's what opens doors. That's just it. So that's the third one, is finding God's plan. I understand the frustration that can be in that, but it can be done. And you've got to be faithful. Walk through the doors. As you walk through the doors, the next door will open. The next door will open, which has kind of brought us back to the beginning. The last point is this. It's an open door policy. And I'm going to explain exactly what all of that means. The caveat to all of this is that the responsibility to follow God's plan and to follow God's will, like, that's placed solely on your shoulders, squarely and solely on your shoulders. You have to choose whether or not you walk through the door. It's an open door policy. You can come and go as you please, but you have to choose to do it. And we have to choose, again, with the persistence and the intentionality to keep on. Because I think if we're just honest, it's really easy to get kind of burnt out in this, especially, man, when you're searching. Like, I don't know, I can just identify with that emotion so much, because a large part of my life was just searching. I was searching, and I knew what I wanted to do, but I wasn't sure what the next step was. And, man, that's a tough place to be. So I can identify with the emotion of searching, but keep on, keep on. Keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on trying to find what it is that God wants you to do. And if you do that and you're faithful, that door will eventually open. So get a visual of this. Like we talked about last week, man, the door has been unlocked from the inside. The deadbolt is open. Grace did that. And we have the key of faith that we put in the door to open the door. But we're the ones that have to put the key in. We're the ones that have to turn it. And we're the ones that have to open it. Jesus has done everything that he needs to do. Like, it's our responsibility to respond to everything that he's done for us. You were created with everything that you were created with, all of the gifts that you have, the talents that you have. It's your choice to walk through the open door. It's your choice to respond to what it is that he's placed in your hand, the gifts that he's given you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20 say this. And this just kind of, I guess, encapsulates this idea that it's our choice. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And I want to kind of extrapolate that just a little bit. I set before you life and death. I set before you the blessing and the curse. I set before you the right path and the wrong path. I set before you open doors and closed doors that you're going to try to kick down. Walk through the right doors. Choose the right path. Choose the blessing. Choose life. And so it says, so choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And so I think the power of the choice is just kind of, it's played out in that verse that we get to choose. It's an open door policy. Everything that needs to be done has been done. It's our response. It's our choice to walk through the door. So walk through the door. And so what I want to do this morning, if everybody, you guys will just close your eyes and bow your heads. Like I said, I can really identify with the struggle of not finding God's plan and not knowing exactly what it is that God's will for your life is. So let's start first off by reminding you guys that God's will is more about you, who you are and who you're becoming. So don't confuse that with the plan. But for those of you that maybe you're just frustrated, like maybe you just really, really want to know what the next step in your life is. And you've been searching, and maybe you have been keeping on. And maybe you've knocked, and you've asked, and you've sought, and you haven't found any answers just yet. I just want to pray for you that you'll feel the sense of comfort, the sense of peace, the sense of trust that God is good, that he's like we were talking about, that you can just come on over. We'll have a good time. So let me pray for you specifically. If that's you, if there's anybody in the room that's kind of in that season, that stage of life where they're just searching for God's plan for their life, I just want you to slip up your hand so I know who you are. Awesome. God, we know this morning, I think a lot of times, God, we know things intellectually, but it's hard to connect that to our emotions. God, we know that you love us, that you care for us, God, and we know intellectually, God, that you have a plan for our lives, God, that you've given us purpose, but sometimes, God, we don't feel it. And I know that's not what it's all about, God, but it is frustrating sometimes. So, God, this morning, I just want to remind everybody in the room, it's okay to be frustrated at times. It's okay to not have all of the answers and to not have 100% of the direction and all of the blueprints for your life. But God, I also want you to remind them that you love them. Wildly love them. You're crazy in love with them, God. And even if they can't find that sense of purpose or that sense of direction yet, it doesn't change your love for them. It doesn't change your passion for them. And it doesn't change the fact that you do have a plan for their life, God. Maybe the door hasn't opened yet. God, I pray that they would just feel the sense of peace this morning. God, that peace that passes all understanding would rule in their hearts and reign in their hearts. God, that we would have a trust in you, that even though things aren't working out like maybe we think that they should, that we would trust that you've got a plan, and it's a good plan, and that your ways are higher than our ways, and that your timing is much better than our timing, and you're so much smarter than we are anyway, so that we would just trust in you, that we would not lean on our own understanding, God, but we would acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you will direct our path and the plan for our life. God, we are so thankful for this time this morning. God, I pray that every person, God, in that season right now, God, that they would leave this place refreshed encouraged and just reminded how much you care for them. And that each and every one of us, God, would leave and attack life with a fervor and zeal. God, that we know that you've got a plan, so we're going to keep on. We're going to keep on asking you, God, what it is that you want, what do you want me to do with my life? Who it is that you want us to serve? God, we ask and we knock and we seek because we believe that you will answer. You're a good Father, and you want us to know the answers to those questions. Jesus, we are so thankful for everything you do, and it's in your awesome name we pray, and everybody said, amen.